Guess I'll get started. To record a manual root, you go to the roots, root commands, and then you go to open a root, and you select your drive, your folder, and your file name. When it prompts you for the file name, you'd want to type in a new root name, and then when you press enter, it will say recording. The first thing you want to do is add your first waypoint. Now, when you do that, you would do it in the beginning of the root that you want to start to record. So if you were walking across a college campus, say for example you're at one building and you want to go to another building, you would put the first building in as your waypoint one. So on a BT, you press space with dot two, and on a QT, you press Control K, and that will prompt you for the waypoint name. And the system will automatically number them: waypoint one, waypoint two, waypoint three, etc. So you give it the building name, if you want to, whatever you want to give it, it's totally up to you. Press enter, and then you would walk to your next waypoint. So when you walk to your next waypoint, say you want to go to the left, you want to walk to the corner and then go to the left. You walk to the corner, and then when you get to the corner, before you make your turn, you press the command to add another waypoint. When you do that, the system will say left, straight, or right. So at that point, you tell it, is it a left, is it a straight ahead waypoint, or is it a right waypoint? So in my example, we'll hit L for left. Then you make your turn and continue to add the waypoints. Hello to the two new people that just came in.
Hi, everyone.
So does anybody have any questions about manual routes, how you create them, how you follow them, why you would want a manual route versus a automatically created route?
Yes, I
Same
do.
percent.
Could you please explain?
Explain manual routes, or what would you like me to explain?
Why would you want a manual route?
Okay, if you let's go back to the example of the college campus. If it's a route that the system cannot automatically create for you, say you want to cut through a field, or you want to go from one building to another building, and instead of going around several blocks, you'd want to cut straight through a field. Now you can do that with a manual route, where you couldn't do that with a created or an automatically created route that the system would create, because the system is using streets. Another example is if you are a hiker and you want to hike through the woods, you can plot a route. You can create your own route on that hike, and then you can use it at different times, or you can use it to get yourself back.
We won't do
11%.
set a root. We just do W.
No, when you're creating a route, you're presumably standing where you want the first waypoint to be. So if you're standing outside a building, you would do R for root commands, O for open, select the drive, select the folder. When it prompts you for a file name, you type in a new file name, and it'll say, file does not exist. Do you want to create it? And you answer yes, and then it'll say recording. Now, once you've started to record that file, you press the command in your Braille note to create waypoints. On a QT, it's Control K, and on a BT, it is space with dot two.
Oh, okay.
And then you move to your next waypoint. So if the place that you're trying to get to is, say, 200 feet, you would walk that distance and then stand there for a second. Press that key again to add your second waypoint. And when you do that, it says this is a left turn, a right turn, or a straight ahead turn. When you do that, you have to decide, are you turning left, are you turning right, are you continuing straight ahead? So if you're turning left, you hit L. Once you do that, it'll prompt you for a description. You can just press enter if you want to. And then you can physically turn left and then continue creating your route. You're basically dropping each waypoint or breadcrumb as you're walking the route.
If you wanted to go straight ahead, what letter would you hit then?
You would hit S if you wanted to go straight ahead.
For an example, if you had to go to, if you're on a campus, you're going from building, let's say the library, and you're going to the science building, and you had to stop, you want to record that you are crossing the street going straight. Would that be correct, Chris?
That would be correct.
Because you would want to record that that is an intersection that you are hitting, and that's why you want a waypoint there.
Exactly. And also, if you are crossing a field, you know, and if it's a pretty big field, you would put in some straight waypoints to kind of keep you guided along that, you know, your path.
Did that help you, Denise?
Yes, it did. Thank you. I come here. I learned a lot of new things.
That's what Chris is here for. We're all here for that.
Yeah, we're here to exchange information.
Create a, like, drop breadcrumbs and make...
Yes, the dropping breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs, it's another word for the waypoints.
Do that in a virtual mode.
You sort of can do that in virtual mode, but with virtual mode, you're going intersection by intersection. Now, if that's exactly what you want to do, then yes, you can do that. But if you're, again, crossing a field or going somewhere that virtual mode won't take you, the preferred method is to do it live.
Chris, I'm a little bit confused between waypoints and recording point POIs. Like, for example, on a college campus, if you wanted to go from one building to the next, are you just putting waypoints?
Totally depends on you. Waypoints are route specific. So say, for example, you're on that college campus and you put building A in as a waypoint, building B in as another waypoint along a route that you're trying to get to, then the only time you're going to see those point or those waypoints are when you have that route open. It's like a document when you're writing in your word processor. The only time you're going to see that the contents of that document is when you have that document open. Now, points of interest are global, if you will, meaning you don't have to be in a route to see them, or whatever route you follow, like bus stops. You might want to put a bus stop in as a point of interest, or you might want to put buildings in as points of interest. Even the college buildings you might want to put in. But waypoints are route specific, and you want to get to them. You know, you're dropping that little map, if you will, using the waypoints, where the points of interest are just things that you might want to pass, if that makes more sense.
But with using waypoints, you have to already have a route created, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Well, Denise, put it this way. It's a Monday, you move to a new location, and it's your first day at school. You remember that? And let's say it's a university, and you want to go to the library and go to the science building, but you know you're going to hit those all the time. The more you use it, the sharper you get finding those locations. However, with the GPS, you'll be able to create the breadcrumb so you can get back or go right straight there until you familiarize yourself how to do it without the GPS.
Yeah, the term points of interest and waypoints can be a little confusing, you know, between the two. Points of interest also can be restaurants, doctor's offices, whatever you want to put in as a point of interest that you want to be notified of no matter what route you're following. So if you're walking down the street and there's a bus stop that you always want to be notified of, no matter what route you're open, maybe you pass that bus stop to go to the doctor's office or to go to the store, but you want to know that it's there. So it doesn't matter what route you're open or walking, you're always going to know that that bus stop is coming up or it's on the left or the right.
So let me see if I get this right. If I create a route in my GPS for the university campus, for example, and then I go ahead, get on a bus and then, or get in a car and go someplace, and I create a route, and I'm going by that university, it will automatically tell me if I did create a identification or a point of interest on a file, it's going to give me that automatically?
A point of interest is global, where roots, if you created a root and you're using waypoints, in your example, Jim, the answer is no. But if you put those buildings into that campus in as points of interest, then the answer is yes. Now, if that, I hope that's not more confusing.
No, now you hit it right on it. I know the difference between the waypoint and the point of entry. However, if I create a route and I created that as I want that as a point of interest reference, then yes, the answer is yes, it will be in there. But other than that, the answer is no if you just created waypoint. I think I got it.
Hi, this is Sue. Can you create both a waypoint and a point of interest for the same building?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you do that as you're creating the route, or do you need to do it separately or something?
You can do it as you're creating the route. If you want a waypoint, the command is Control K on a QT and space dot 2 on a BT. And if you want a point of interest on a QT, it's Control R for record. And on the BT, it is a space with dot 3.
Can you change, like later on, let's say you decide you wanted that waypoint to be a point of interest? Can you do that when you're not in the route, or do you have to be following the route to do that?
Yes, you can do an R and a K when you're virtually at, if you open a manual route or a route in virtual mode, you can advance to that point of interest, or that waypoint, and do an R and a K, and that will put your waypoint in as a point of interest.
Thanks.
You can also edit routes, you know, edit points of point of interest names. You can also, these are user point of interest, not the commercial ones. And also you can edit your waypoints in a route. If you edit a route, you could do it that way too. So say, for example, on the college campus, Jones Hall became Smith Hall, and your waypoint says continue to Jones Hall. Now you can go in and rename that point and call it Smith Hall. So when you open your route, and if you wanted to edit your route, you'd hit E for edit, and then you can scroll down with the space dot 4 or the down arrow key through your points of interest in that route. If you wanted to rename them, you'd hit R. If you wanted to erase them, you'd hit E. So, you know, you can do some route management in there.
Would you be going down through your waypoints or your points of interest with that edit command?
That's the waypoint, the E, when you're in the GPS program itself and you have a route loaded. Those are your waypoints. Now, if you want to edit your points of interest, you'd go to the main menu and you'd hit N for navigation or G for GPS, depending on the version of Keysoft you have. And then one of those options is edit user.poi. So you'd go there, and then you'd have basically the same user interface to R for rename, E for erase your points of interest.
Since I haven't done this very often, when you're editing your waypoints, do you do this in the virtual mode, or do you do this in the regular GPS mode?
When you're just editing them like that to rename them or erase them, it doesn't matter what mode you're in. Carl?
Hello, well, sorry, I had to find a microphone. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Carl.
We're just talking about points of interest and waypoints and the differences between the two, and maybe you can shed some light on the subject as well.
Oh, I'm sure that you've covered them very adequately, Chris. And the only real confusion that I get a lot of questions on is, you know, the major differences, and you may have covered this, between a waypoint and a POI. So if you've already covered it, I won't go into it any further.
Go ahead, because maybe I missed something that you can say.
Well, basically, that just to make everybody, you know, totally aware that a point of interest, when you store a point of interest, it's visible basically to all of our modes, GPS, virtual. It's visible within routes, et cetera, et cetera. A waypoint basically is a unique point of interest which gives us more guidance features, if you will, but it is only the important point. It is only visible within that route. So, you know, it's if you have something that you feel is needed in more than that route, you would be wise to store it as a point of interest. So that's the major confusion that I find with some of our users of understanding the real use of a waypoint versus a point of interest. Did I totally confuse everybody? I know I'm confused.
Not me, I understood you.
And actually, those terms, points of interest and waypoints, are global, you know, as far as a GPS system for the blind or a GPS system for the sighted, it doesn't matter. Those terms are still the same. So if you're talking to a sighted person who has a GPS system and they're talking about points of interest, you know what they mean, and when you're talking about waypoints, they hopefully know what you mean.
Chris, that's a very valid point. It is a universal term that's probably been used since the concept of the GPS technology. Boy, this is a quiet list today. I'm going to throw out one point since it's probably a little bit off topic, but one excellent method to use a route for that I have found is, I'll throw out an example. If I want to travel from wherever I'm at a given point to my home, all right, if I already have a route saved that has the destination of my home, instead of looking up and setting it as a destination, etc., if I open that route, even though my starting point was not where I'm at now, I already have a given destination, and all I do is just recalculate the route, and away I go. So it's an excellent shortcut. And, you know, I'm sure there's many other functions can be used, but it is a very fast and efficient way to create a route to a location you travel to frequently.
I've done that a number of times myself.
I have a question. You know, I'm riding in the car, and it's a destination on the right. And I go, it's almost like it's a block away. How do I fix that so the destination can be a little closer?
You can do one of two things. Now, I'm assuming that your destination was a point of interest that you set as your destination. What you can do in that instance is go out when you get to the place that you want to be, record a point of interest as that building, and create a route or set that point of interest as your destination. Don't worry about the commercial POI, but use the real POI or the user POI that you recorded, and that way it'll be more accurate. Like, for example, if I'm at a mall and I'm looking for JCPenney's. Now, JCPenney's might be 200 or 300 feet away from the doorway of the store, you know, the commercial point. So what we can do in that instance is walk up to the door, drop your point of interest, and then use that one as your destination whenever you want to get to JCPenney's.
If you walk into 8%. The mall, you didn't know where JCPenney's is.
That's when we ask.
Okay.
Malls are pretty busy, and, you know, that's when I would ask somebody, excuse me, is this JCPenney's? And then if they say yes, then, you know, you put it in as the point of interest.
Let me also add, this also worked because when I went with a trainer down to the Bay Area, and we were coming out of the Department of Rehab office, and on the way back, it took me straight to the door rather than the actual building.
Yes, and I've done that with cabs and stuff when cabs have dropped me off in the middle of the parking lot or whatever, and I've used the GPS to get myself to the door, you know, of the establishment of a place that I've obviously been to before.
How did you do that? By creating a waypoint?
Created a point of interest and set that point of interest as the destination, and at that point you'd want to hit D or, you know, to find out how far away you are from your destination.
Yeah, I'd just like to, you know, reaffirm that a commercial point of interest is basically a geocoded or a computer-generated location. And for various and sundry reasons that we probably don't totally understand everybody when they code these because of complexity, but it could be off several hundred feet from the actual address in some cases. And almost always that point is at the center of a street. So if you were on a larger street, you know, our accuracy to that commercial point of interest versus the actual location is off considerably. Now, when you set a user point of interest, that is a latitude and longitudinal mark as accurate as our GPS signal is at the time you store it. So it is a very, very accurate marking, and it's not relying on addresses and et cetera. So it's just a latitudinal and longitudinal mark. So the accuracy factor is much greater normally with the user safety point of interest than you'll find in the commercial point of interest.
Okay, I'm going to ask this again because I still am not clear. What is the purpose of waypoints? If you have to have a route already created, what would you use them for?
Well, there would be many uses for a waypoint, basically. If the Let me think this for a second. If this is a manual route, okay, your waypoints are landmarks. Let's consider them landmarks along the as you traverse that route, and it is giving directions when you reach that landmark whether you want to go to your left, to your right, or straight ahead. Now, that would be in a manual route, a route that is created by GPS, and the landmark is going to tell you a lot of information, right? Like how far you are in that route, whether you're veering off the route, whether your next landmark is ahead, behind, left, or right, etc., etc. So it's going to give you a lot of clues, if you will, as you travel that route that you have created. So they're very, very important items within traveling a route. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I guess I just don't do them that much in manual routes. I mean, I know that they're there in the routes that are recreated.
And the concept is actually the same no matter what type of route that you're going on. So if you're going on a manual route and you wind up find out how far away your next turn is, it'll tell you, or when you get to that turn, what you need to do when you get to that turn. Now when you're doing an automatic or a vehicle or pedestrian route that was created by the system, it's the same thing. You'd find out how far you are to your next turn, when you reach that turn, what to do when you get to that turn. So, you know, the waypoints are the concept is the same no matter if it's a route that you've manually created by yourself or if it's a route that the system has created.
Can you add waypoints to a route that the system has created?
Yes, you can.
It would be at the location. Well, I take that back. If it is a GPS route, you have to be at the location you want to add the waypoint. But if, say if I had waypoints 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I was at between 2 and 3, I could definitely add another waypoint between 2 and 3. And it is a very, very good technique if you want to clarify the route that you've created.
Well, let me get an example. I had someone took me to the mall, so we created a GPS where we were at home and went to the mall. Okay, they got me to the door of the mall, and then from that point, I started creating waypoint because I'm going to take a tour in the mall, and I want to make sure I get back exactly to the same spot so I know I can get my ride home. Is that the best way to put it?
Sounds good to me. But don't you have trouble sometimes with the, if the mall's an indoor mall, getting your, having a good satellite recognition?
Yeah, that is true, particularly if it's a three-story mall, it may not even work. But a lot of times there's a lot of entry door, and you could step out from that point on and get your pick and jump back in.
That's a very good point.
Just to add, I go to Chico State here up in Northern California, and there's a lot of different buildings and stuff that I'm not familiar with. How can I go and set the waypoints to each and every building so that if I get sent to a different building, for example, that I haven't been to for a class, say next fall or whatever, I want to be able to get there without having to rely on someone's who's sighted on the first day of class. What would you guys recommend for me to do, and how can I establish that?
Okay, good, very, very good question. And my recommendation is use a user point of interest, not a waypoint, if you will, because a waypoint is really used for a particular route. So if you had... Remember, you're on a college campus which is not mapped because it is a private location, and all of the streets are normally not mapped on a university campus, so it makes it only usable if we have points of interest marked. So I would recommend, and I know Chris has done a lot of this, I've done quite a bit of it in working university campuses. And at times I'll go with a person that is very familiar with the campus, possibly that has some vision that to get us right and make sure those POIs are fairly descriptive. So there you have a group of points of interest that are created for that campus itself. Now, if you wanted to create routes then, say I was at building 1 and I want to travel to building 5, door 3, and I had marked that as a point of interest, it's very easy to create a route, if you will. Unfortunately, you couldn't create a route, now I think about it, because it's not a mapped street. So, but it will give you directions to that building in the way of left, right, clock face, in direction and distance to that point of interest. And if you really need to have that, this is the time to use a manual route and create a manual route from that point A to point B. Now, if enough points of interest have been created to give you some landmarks on that campus, you can still be able to travel around that campus and still being able to locate points of interest that have been stored because you're familiar with some of the landmarks. This is a very, very interesting subject. And, Chris, you may have some more to add to this.
Well, having been a student at Chico State a number of years ago, I still remember the campus. And I think probably one thing to do is I know it's grown since I was there, but go through with somebody and go by each building and name it, like the music building and the humanities building and the student union and, you know, where the door is, and put your own user point of interest, or not, yeah, your user point of interest, and then, you know, start creating yourself a route, walking from that building to your dorm or wherever, and you might have to create some manual routes to start with, and you might need a little help to get going on that. But yeah, I spent 4 years there.
And another thing, with points of interest and having buildings, and we'll stick with the campus scenario, is the more points of interest and buildings that you can put in, the more familiar you're going to get of where those buildings are mentally. You can put in that mental map or the comfort zone, like for example, Smith Hall is on the left and Jones Hall is on the right, or the music building is on the right. When you're walking past it, you can build your map mentally of where you are and what buildings you should be passing.
I was able to understand all of you, and I think that's a great suggestion. The reason I asked this is I know it's a little bit off topic, but it has to do with manual routes and whatnot. But the reason I ask is because sometimes they tend to send me to buildings that I don't even know its location and whether or not I'm familiar with them. And so I figured this, since we're talking about GPS and the whole wonders of GPS, this would be a great time to ask. And I would take you guys' advisement and see if I could find somebody who's able to walk me through the building. And yes, the campus is growing because they're adding new buildings as well.
And what you can do is, if you would like to, and it's not a requirement, but you can send your user point of interest to Mike May, who does the collective user points, and all that work that you've done can go to somebody else so that they don't have to recreate the wheel.
Can you guys maybe help explain on what would be the best amount of information when doing a campus building and how you would construct it for user POI?
Well, what I've found, and I think it's kind of necessary for the first time to go with another student, because a lot of the streets, sidewalks, even buildings have their own student names, if you will. They'll call maybe a creek that's familiar, a certain name, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of times if you're, say you stop and ask another student a question, how do I get to, let me use the UC Berkeley campus, how do I get to the Campanile, all right, or how do I get to Evans Hall, whatever it may be, they'll tell you to, well, you go to this gate here and et cetera, et cetera. So if you can try to name those landmarks, what the students are using for names, it really makes a big difference to you. And so if a stranger walks in and you start naming these things and you ask another student, how do I get to a point, it may be very confusing when they tell you this stupid name. But it's not stupid, and that's not a right good statement, but that's partly what I've found. And you know, there's a lot of landmarks on campuses that we will use, student union buildings, various things, and if you have a chance, emergency phones, things like that, I think are extremely important. And, you know, once you're familiar with the campus and your classrooms, then you can name the particular doors and create your own manual route somewhere. And I know that we're quite involved in a major project at Florida State now. working with the State Department of Disabilities, and that's a very, very interesting project. They're doing a super job there, and I would like to see more and more of that done. And I would strongly recommend, if you do have a coordinator for disabilities on that campus, to talk with them a little bit to find out if any of this has been done. And I think most of them will be very willing to work with you, because I know that UC Berkeley has coordinators, and Stanford we have coordinators, and et cetera, many campuses. And I would definitely welcome any suggestions also.
Okay, Carl, I'll give you a little information. I just went to, I type in University of Santa Barbara, and I put in campus map. Beautiful. Beautiful. Came up right on the screen, and it comes in two different scale. And so, for your information, I'm in a place of the campus that I've been to. I go to the main building, the administration, and generally they do have a map, two different scale, matter of fact. But anyway, just doing on the internet, I just did University of Santa Barbara. You got something to work with, but always see if you can find someone sighted and go from there. But this one actually had a very good map.
I guess I need to rephrase it. Let's say I know the names of the buildings. For example, one of the buildings is Davies Hall, which has English, several different courses within that building. What's the best way, as far as that goes? I mean, Davies Hall has rooms 102 to 200 or whatever. I guess my question is, how would you write it for a user POI?
I would put Davies Hall in as the user point name, and then in the description field, you could put the courses that are actually in that hall.
Also, Stephanie, but there most likely are multiple entrances to that building. And it was going to help you a lot to identify, say, door A is the entrance for such and such and such and such. And you can also put all of that in the descriptive information. And that's, I found being able to mark the doors is and give it more descriptive information is a big help.
Yes, I want to be able to do something like that as well, as the person mentioned earlier, because I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only blind person going to this particular campus here at Chico State. I'm pretty sure that after I graduate or beyond, before I graduate, whatever, there's going to be other blind people, and I would like to see them not have to go through as much trouble as I did when I navigate the campus. And I think these suggestions as far as labeling which door entrance will take you to a certain room number would actually be a benefit to not only myself but to the generations to follow.
Is it possible that this has already been done and up on Mike's voice?
You know, it has. I know Mike has been to Chico campus several times. I personally have not been to Chico, but I'm sure there are some there. And, you know, one thing you can do is put yourself virtually as close as you can to the center of that campus. If you and just do a POI search for user in there, just do an MGM is the search criteria or search criteria, and you'll find all of the POIs that Mike has set around that campus, and that could be very meaningful to you too. And give that try.
I think the only POIs that I found on that campus was like the auditorium. There's a couple auditoriums, but the main one that they use is the entertainment auditorium, also known as Laxon. And then he also has the ATM at Bell Memorial Union, which is the student union. And I think pretty much those are like the only two user poids I found that he's created.
Well, that's pretty unusual for Mike. He's usually not that quiet when he goes somewhere. But that's all in jest. That's why I think it's so important, you know, when we start marking these, to work with the disability coordinators on there so they can kind of help and coordinate this. Like at Florida State University, and they're going to try to mark every state university in Florida using this method, using a Department of Rehab, if you will, and having a central point there. And instead of the Sendero shared user points of interest, they are creating their own points of interest which they can distribute around. And I think that's probably the best all-around idea, because probably you and I would not be interested at Florida State University unless I was going to be going there. And why do I want them all in the shared user POIs itself? And I know that we're really receptive to these, some of the ideas. I think the point that we use made, Armand, is very valid. Why should somebody else recreate all of these if you're going to market, they should be used for various and other people that are going to be on that campus.
Well, Carl, more places, for example, your public transportation, they're going to give a heavier use in the future. They're all going to their buses, the GPS, and each community are identifying their points of interest of all the bus stop, bus shelter, whatever they're going to identify that. So we're going to get more of those information than, say, example, at the university.
Well, Jim, you're right, that more and more of them are being published, if you will. Not at the speed we would like them to be published, and the accuracy that we would like to see them, number one. But it is happening, and we want to encourage that to continue to happen, because it is the building block of this technology to be able to give us that type of information. And we're still in somewhat of the infancy of it, but it's coming fast.
So, Carl, you're saying that, for example, Florida State, he's going to be working with a DSPS coordinator. So if one were to create all these different POIs of the different buildings, they would send them to them so that other students could use them? Is that what their goal is?
Yes. Basically what they've done in Florida, and I wish some other states would do the same thing, they paid a group of students. I don't know how much they paid them. They never divulged that to us, and I don't think it was much more than to buy them probably a cup of coffee or maybe a beer, whatever it may be, to go out and mark what they felt was important around their for their environment. And then we combined them into a file called a BPI file, which basically sent it to us, and we created the BPI file that was called FSU, that's Florida State University, and it turned out to be extremely effective, and they plan to, in fact, they've made some changes and enhancements and et cetera, but they're still in their learning curve. And they've marked emergency phones. They did a fantastic job. I think overall they found out that they marked more than they needed to, and it got a little overwhelming, but this is all in the area of fine-tuning it, I think.
Do you suppose they had a blind student as well testing those POIs?
Absolutely. In the in the group that did the Florida students, all of the POIs were marked by blind students, not sighted. They did use some sighted guides a little bit, but the majority were blind students themselves.
See, and this is where I run into the problem, because I'm pretty much like the only blind student who owns a GPS, and I'm fairly new to this, and I still don't know how to do quite the advanced stuff with the Sendero GPS that I currently have. And being that I'm the only blind student, you know, I kind of find it overwhelming because I have no one to back me up besides myself.
Hope I'm not out of school here. That I know for a fact that the Department of Rehab has purchased equipment and GPS for blind students for the Chico campus, and I'll assume they are still on the campus, but I couldn't comment about whether they are or not. But I think that's why it's very important we get hold of our disability coordinators on those campuses to get them involved, and they're the ones that should help us in, you know, keep track of what's going on in that campus. But I know that's the kind of personal feelings.
Yeah, as I said, you know, I'm pretty much, like I said, the only one, because the rest of them use like PackMates and just non-Sendero stuff. And as I said, you know, I don't know if those non-Sendero products that they use have the GPS, because I've only run into these students a couple times, and I don't get to sit down and talk to them as much. But I will take your advisement and get the disability services coordinator involved, as well as the academic advisor for that department, and maybe between the three of us or so, we could somehow create a map and do that. But first, I need to master this whole Sendero GPS stuff, because I'm fairly new, and I still get confused on how to do things on it.
Don't worry about it. I get confused, too. I got to call Chris to help me out all the time, too. But, you know, even if some of the people are not really aware, if we make them aware, that's going to be a big help. You know, whether it's Sendero GPS or the tracker system or PackMate, whatever it may be, I know that we are working, and I don't know where we stand on the total subject. And I'm sure either Charles or Mike will be more involved in it than I would be. But being able to share points of interest between all of our systems, and I think that's going to be extremely beneficial to both our product and other people's products. And so there's got to be some type of a standard developed, if it is not already being done, to be able to have the same format, I guess, would be in all of the points of interest between different systems. And in essence, we're doing that with our commercial points of interest today, because the commercial points of interest that we use are being used by other products.
Well, I got to go. Thank Chris, Charles, and not Charles, you know, Charles already left, Carl and everyone else.